This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
All kids are going to use technology as adults. The jobs they may have as teenagers will require them to use technology. So as parents now, we have this added responsibility of helping them to use technology with discipline and responsibly.
Welcome back to the show. This podcast is growing because of you and your reviews. So keep leaving those reviews, sharing them with people that you love, updating your reviews, and sharing the show to anyone who wants to know more about child health, development, and parenting. Today, I welcome Bill Brady, who is co-founder and CEO of Trumi Wireless, which is a mobile phone platform designed to improve kids' mental health through a safe and balanced relationship with technology. And this is something really important in this day and age. We are talking about balancing the benefits and concerns of kids and phones. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Mona. Great to be with you.
Yeah. And so tell us more about yourself and what brought you to found Trumi Wireless.
Well, first and foremost, I'd say the most important job I have is I'm a dad to five kids. So like, you know, all of your listeners, I'm in the thick of dealing with all of these questions and issues around kids and technology, just like they are. And our oldest is 19 years old. So she's on the entering adulthood phase, but we still have a 7-year-old and then a bunch of kids in between. So my wife and I, we've been married 23 years, and I think we've always been pretty sensitive or cautious or just aware about technology. And we've tried to be pretty intentional about what we allowed into our house and what we didn't, and what was the right time frame for introducing technology to kids. And through my career as a marketer, I spent 2 decades owning marketing agencies, but got to a point where this was a problem that needed to be tackled. And I got into this space of kid-safe technology about 5 years ago.
Oh, I love it. And so that was what brought you to find Trumi Wireless. And so what is Trumi Wireless exactly?
So at its core, we're a phone and an operating system that's really designed to help parents introduce technology to their kids in an age-appropriate way. So there are the obvious things, and we'll talk more about these in our time together today, but there are the obvious problems that every parent's trying to solve for. They know that they want the convenience of giving their kid a phone, but they're worried about inappropriate content. They're worried about bullies. Yeah. They're worried about predators. They're worried about social media. So Trumi provides a platform where parents can give their kids a phone without any of that stuff. Give them what they need without all the garbage that they don't need.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, you talk about the research that you've done in marketing, but also being a parent of five. So from the research in this field of technology, mental health, as well as your experience being a parent to five children, what do you see the benefits of having a phone, and what would be some concerns you see with a child having access to a phone?
Well, the benefits side, I think that the first benefit is selfish for parents, right? It's right. The convenience. Yeah. Of being able to reach our kids. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have phones. And somehow we all survived, and everything was fine. But, you know, we've kind of got a culture now where there's this heightened sensitivity for parents of, I want to know where my kids are at. I want to be able to see on a map where they are and know that they're okay. If anything were to go wrong, or they had a problem, or even just a scheduling snafu, I want them to be able to reach me, or I need to be able to reach them. And that's really, really a convenient thing. But there are safety issues there as well. We had a daughter, for example, she performs in a choir, and they rehearse in a city that's, you know, about 45 minutes away from us. Mm-hmm. And she got out of a rehearsal or a performance one night. And the family that she was carpooling with forgot that she was carpooling with them. And here she was. It was dark. She was in a big city.
Yeah.
And she was terrified. And this is, she didn't have a phone and wasn't yet quite comfortable going up to someone and saying, hey, I'm sorry. Can I use your phone for a second? And thank goodness, you know, there was another family that just kind of observed what was going on and realized, I think Ainsley needs help. And, you know, and they were able to get her and give her a ride home. But like just little examples like that can turn into big things. And that connectivity is, it's become very important. If you think of benefits, I think there are a ton of learning and preparation for the future style benefits. All kids are going to use technology as adults. The jobs they may have as teenagers will require them to use technology. So as parents now, we have this added responsibility of helping them to use technology with discipline and responsibly. So we have this need to help them advance into additional levels of responsibility as their needs warrant and as their maturity warrants. That was one of our goals in creating Trumi, was to provide parents with that platform where they can gradually introduce kids and help them prepare for the future. Part of that preparation for the future comes from learning. I think as some of the awesome learning experiences my kids have had, not too long ago, they participated in a tour of Jamestown with a docent at Jamestown. It was like they were there in person.
Wow.
Technology enabled that. I think of the connection they have to distant family members. I'm originally from Canada, and my kids were able to talk to their grandparents, you know, through technology, because otherwise they only saw them once a year, or sometimes once every 2 years. Like it was technology really enabled those relationships. So there's a lot of upside. But like you said, we have to be concerned about the risks as well. And I categorize those into two different types of risk. There's the obvious ones. Every parent in America would agree that they don't want their kids consuming pornography or other inappropriate content.
Agree.
They want to keep their kids away from bullies. And bullying happens now 24/7. You know, you think of what social media does to take the schoolyard bully, and all of a sudden, that individual's reach is thousands of people, and it never turns off.
Right.
And so there's a risk there. And then predators. It's absolutely disgusting. You know, you think of some of the research shows 500,000 active online child predators right now. And they're using seemingly innocuous means of reaching kids and grooming them into some, you know, terrible, terrible, dangerous situations. So those are the obvious things, you know. So at its core, we say, let's create an environment where kids are safe from those things. But the less obvious risks are just as important. And a lot of those stem from social media and the stress, anxiety, and depression that we're now seeing spiking in our young people. And so much of that ties back to, you know, social media, screen time in general, getting less sleep because of screens. And we're seeing an epidemic. It's an absolute youth mental health care crisis. And so those are some of the other things that we seek to address as through the way we've structured our offering.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're bringing up hard-hitting things that are realities in this day and age. And, you know, you went back into like how it seems like a simpler time when we were children. I agree that not having access, even as an adult, you know, I use my platform social, because my platform's big on social media. It's a blessing and a curse. I hate it, but I also love it because it allows me to connect and reach people. But it also is in itself riddled with a lot of issues that can impact mental health, not even just for adult, but you think about for the developing teenage mind, like you said. And like you said, there was that situation with your daughter when she was at waiting for a ride and or the ride left without her. I mean, I remember being a child and I vividly remember some moments where my mom was late to pick us up. And there was no way for her to communicate because there was no cell phones, right? So we waited on the corner of the school street for an hour, 2 hours, and we just kept counting the cars go by. And we started, me and my sister were crying, wondering what happened to our mother. Like, did something happen to her? Why was she late? Yeah. She like, you know, she comes down, she's like, she was running late in traffic, but there was just no way for her to communicate. And, you know, she could have called the school, but the school was closed. So there's, you know, you're like you said, there is a benefit of having access. There is obviously to me a risk. And, you know, I love that y'all as a team are looking at ways to have the access to a phone grow with the child's age, right? Like meaning maybe there's different features that are there. So initially it just is for initiating calls or initiating messages, and then it becomes more access to more features of the phone. But that's kind of how I envision cell phone introduction to my child when it actually happens. But you're right. The worries are great there. You know, all the things that you mentioned. For me as a pediatrician, I very much see on a regular basis the depression aspect that you mentioned, the anxiety aspect that social media can cause. And especially now in 2023, 24, you know, we're recording this at the end of 2023, but it's going to go live in 2024, AI. Like AI technology is really scary to me because I look at that and they're creating images and videos that even I see and I know is fake because I can recognize that this is fake. But you look at the comments and people don't realize it. So now we have young, impressionable minds looking at AI technology, whether it's another female or a male. And they're like, wow, this person looks so beautiful or looks like this. Why don't I look like this? So the depression is there, the anxiety, but also the plummeting self-esteem. You know, that we see. And I have so many teenagers coming in that are feeling bad about themselves because of what they've seen on social, whether it's the bullying, whether it's someone has a lot more followers, whether it's someone looks so beautiful because of filters, or a gentleman is much more muscular or big because of AI technology. And it's really scary, like you said, because back in the day, people existed, you know, there was bullies. You were right. It was very tough, but it didn't follow you home. You went home and it was home and it was a safe place. But now you get on your computer or your iPhone or your cell phone and it is a scary world.
Now let's take a break to hear from our sponsors.
As a pediatrician, mom, and podcaster, I want to share with you a podcast I recently discovered. It's called Understood Explains, and this season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. I listened to an episode called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans, and I learned so much that I honestly didn't know before. I now feel I can better explain these to my patients and their families and better support them in their neurodiversity journey. Navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences can be confusing, and this podcast helps to validate these struggles and provide actionable tips that are useful for parents, teachers, and clinicians. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
Hey, are you loving the show? You're halfway through, so I hope that you are. This is a reminder that if you love the show, appreciate our guests, and want to continue to hear amazing conversations, to leave those reviews and ratings. Reviews and ratings are how a podcast continues to grow and reach more people. And the more people we reach, the bigger we can get and the more amazing free content we can provide for you. Yes, you may hear some ads like this one, but my goal is to be able to provide free and accessible health, development, and parenting content to you via this show. Leave a review and rating and update reviews after you hear a powerful episode. Thank you for tuning in.
I know this conversation can be uncomfortable for a lot of our listeners because people don't want to add more anxiety in our life. Like, oh my God, I need to be worried. But I think it is a healthy conversation on, hey, we can provide these luxuries to our children, but at the same time, respecting the things out there. And that's why I'm glad that you are on this episode, but also that you created Trumi to kind of combat that, to find that bridge and that balance for everybody.
No, thank you. You know, one of the things you just called out, I don't think can be overstated, and that's the effect of social media on self-esteem and, and confidence. And the struggle's real for adults too. It's not just a kid thing, but kids are especially, because of their developing brains, especially susceptible to getting into this rut of constantly looking at what everyone else has, mm-hmm. what everyone else is doing, how everyone else looks, where everyone else is going on vacation. And of course, they're just seeing the curated version of everyone's lives. But it's really easy to get into that mode of, I don't have enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not strong enough, whatever those things are. And in that constant comparison robs us of gratitude, first of all. You know, if you spend your life comparing yourself to other people, all of a sudden, gratitude goes out the window.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, gratitude and the recognition of what we do have is fundamental to real happiness. And the statistics show it. In fact, there's the Pew Research Center did a study with teenagers, and 73% of teenagers recognized, they said in the survey, that they believe social media harms their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
73% of the kids themselves are recognizing that. Yet once you get into that habit and the dopamine hits are constantly coming from, it's hard to say, I don't want to do that anymore. It's really hard to step away from it.
Listen, this is, and you said it perfectly. It's not just for children. I mean, I am a content creator, and I've become this like role that anytime I see an up and coming content creator that like I really love and they're growing, like they go viral, right? I immediately send them a message and I say, I'm so proud of you for going viral, but I need you to watch your mental health, because with becoming viral comes the mental health hit, the dopamine hit, the desire for more, the people pleasing, the fact that you are going to get a lot more negativity when you go viral. I've been there, and I know that impact it has on me. I'm a 38-year-old at the time of this recording, and I even get sad. I even get depressed. Now we think about the children that, like you said, that their developing brain, and not even just the developing brain. We know that teenagers, because of where their cognition is, they rely heavily on what other people think. Even if we want to tell them, don't care about what your friend says. Their way their brain develops because of just human evolution and how we evolve as adults and human beings, they care. And we can say all we want not to care, but they're going to care. And so when you add that sort of developing brain, that desire for what is everyone else doing and how come I'm not good enough, and you set them up for failure in terms of this, you know, not being mindful. And social media is not the mindful spot that I want people to be in. It's like the antithesis of being mindful, everything about it. And it's like that dopamine hit of the quick video form, you know, like the fact that now with TikTok, everything's getting shorter. We can't even like long form video. People are getting bored because it's not fast enough for their dopamine hit. It's kind of scary, you know?
It really is.
And so I love this. I know we are going on a huge tangent about social media because it is a passion of mine. I think it's really important that we all listen to this, because as adults too, when would you say would be a good time to introduce a phone, and how can we do that, you know, in terms of making it, providing this balance like what we're talking about today?
So I think it's got to be done with the utmost of intentionality. There's no one specific age where I would say this is the age,
right?
Because every family circumstance is different. Every child's needs are different, and very practical needs are different. And every child's maturity level is different. I think it's got to be done on a child by child basis, even within a family, you know, even within a family. I don't think there's at this age, you get a phone,
right?
Because kids are different. That age is definitely getting younger because so few families have home phones now. So if you want your kids to be able to be at home, once they're to an age where they can be at home alone, or when they can be babysitting for your family or another family, they have to have a device. Like, that's just for safety. They have to have a way to call the fire department if they need to. We also see the age coming down because of expectations, you know, set by schools, you know, where more and more schools have kids in digital learning platforms. And, you know, you submit your assignments on devices, you check your grades on devices. So that age is coming down. The biggest advice I give parents is be intentional about it. I always say that, you know, just because everyone else is doing it was never the right reason to do anything.
Right.
So right. look at your child and their maturity level and their needs, and make an intentional decision. But in that process, there are some steps that we can take as parents to mitigate the potential of the phone or technology becoming the default for how life is lived. And that's what we're trying to avoid. You know, you don't want to take your kid from not having a phone to being on a phone 95% of the time. You know, so that's where we say ease them into it and give them age-appropriate technology that meets specific needs. So for a younger kid, start them with talk and text only. They don't even need picture messages to begin with. Start with the most basic and make sure that initial ability to talk and text is completely safe. Mm-hmm. For example, in our product, we've built a bulletproof safe listing system where if someone is not in the child's contact book, which is managed by the parent, they literally cannot talk or text with that kid. It's not possible. And so, you know, that way you can say to your child, hey, here are the 5, 10, 30, whatever the number is for your family. Here are the people that you can talk to. Let me know, you know, and your child can add someone, but then you get to approve that contact as a parent. So you start with that level of safety. And then teach them about how to use group messaging with the right etiquette. Teach them about what pictures are appropriate to send and not send. And introduce, you know, picture messaging. And step them through the addition of new technology as they're trained, as they're ready, and as you can help them develop discipline. And then look at adding apps that are safe. And in our platform, there's no app store on the child's phone, but through what we call our parent portal, the parent can choose from a library of apps that we've pre-vetted for safety. You know, apps for school, apps for music, apps for spirituality, apps for sports, healthy hobbies, whatever those things are. And then as a parent, you can decide what your child needs and when. And again, make sure that they're trained as they go. But the last thing that we want to do is put a device in a child's hand and say, okay, now life is just virtual and it's only on devices. No, we want the child to be a child,
right?
To enjoy childhood and to have the in-person and outdoor adventures that make childhood so wonderful and rewarding.
Oh, I love it. And I really appreciate you taking a developmental approach, because I do see sometimes people put an age minimum, like, hey, 12 years old, like, let's give phones, right? Because that's the age, I would say. I agree with you that it is a circumstantial situation, especially knowing that everyone's family is different. And you brought up that everyone's development's different. Like, you could have a very mature 8-year-old and you're like, you know what? It's the youngest child in our family. We don't have a home phone. We need this. And it is coming down to a lot of it, like you said, not only finding the software and technology that can support this, like you have created, but also parental boundaries. You know, we still are parents. We still have to understand that if we're introducing any luxury item like a cell phone to our child, that we are the ones setting the boundaries to protect them. But also, like you said, not defaulting to a screens only lifestyle.
Now let's take a break to hear from our sponsors.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
How do you provide that phone? Now you have this world is their oyster with getting on all these things, but also not defaulting to a screens only lifestyle.
So I think one of the first things there, paradigm wise, I think it's a great idea. Rather than say, hey, Bobby, Sally, I'm gifting you this phone, it's yours. I think it's great to say, here's a phone for you to use. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference there, right? In one case, in the latter of those, our phone is the parents. It's yours to use so long as you use it with this discipline. And you map out way ahead of time. You map out the things we do and the things we don't do. And it becomes a contract between the parent and the child, and much, much easier to regulate, if you will, than if you just say, this is yours, and you don't put any thought ahead of time about expectations for what the things you do and the things you don't do. I also think it's essential that families develop a culture of phone downtime. Mm-hmm. You know, in our family, we don't do phones at the dinner table. You know, there are times when we're gathered as a family, you know, and that could be playing games or watching a movie or just talking. And we say, no, the phones go over there. You know, we have a place for the phones to rest.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll even put out a plug for a product that we love. It's called Aro. I don't know if you've seen that, but Aro's it kind of gamifies. It's a box everyone can put their phones in, and it tracks phone downtime. It's fantastic. And I think creating a family culture where the people are more important than the devices is essential. I also love programs. I know you're familiar with something called 1,000 Hours Outside. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge. I forget the lady's name that started it, but it's a challenge to families to say, hey, spend 1,000 hours outside a year and put that into a daily average. You know, you're 3 hours a day outside. And it really encourages a lifestyle that's active and not on screens. And I think it's fantastic, but it's definitely a process that we've got to be conscious about.
Oh, yes. And this was a great conversation. I am so glad we went on our little tangent about social media in general, even for adults. And you brought up the dopamine hit. What would be a final message for everyone listening today?
I know that parents are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I know that there's this feeling of this is something we have to do. Maybe we don't want to do it. Maybe we're worried about it. Maybe we've been waiting until we know there's a safe approach. And I think any final message is you can have that safety. You can have the peace of mind that you're looking for and give your child a device if you're intentional about the way you do it. Mm-hmm. If you just say, hey, here's a brand new $1,400 iPhone, good luck. Yeah. You're going to have problems. There are going to be problems. I guarantee it. But if you take some time, do it methodically, give them a device where you can maintain and control the phone environment that they have stage by stage by stage, it's going to be a lot less overwhelming than you think. And you can see the benefits without all the risks that we've talked about.
I'm curious if you want to share this, how did you introduce it for your children? Or have you in terms of the ages, and how was your decision process on deciding that it was time for your kids to have one?
So with our oldest, it started with that babysitting question. With our oldest, she was 12. Mm-hmm. She might have been 11, but she was to that age where she was starting to babysit. Mm-hmm. And her first phone was a flip phone. We could actually still get flip phones.
People would be like, what is this device? Yeah. This is from the 1900s. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it would look like now.
I'm sure that's what they would look at it as, yeah.
So we just took that minimalist approach. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't in this industry yet. So that was the best alternative, was a flip phone. But even as she grew and her maturity increased and her needs evolved, we still were very intentional about what she could or couldn't do on a phone. Even after she did get an iPhone, our oldest daughter, she's 19 now, she didn't have an Instagram or a Snapchat account until about 3 months before her 18th birthday.
Amazing.
Because that was one of the lines that we drew. And we said, hey, we're not going to do this. What's essential though, Mona, is that you don't, it can't just be a, this is my house, these are the rules, and no. That's what causes the wedge and the contention. So involve your kids in the conversation and help them understand why. You know, we're waiting to do social media because of these risks. Mm-hmm. And look at this article, and look at this article, and here's this news story that talked about one of the terrible things that happened to someone that started with social media. So we involve our kids in that conversation. Because of that approach, I never, literally, never had a shouting match with my oldest daughter about social media. In fact, she actually came to us at one point and said, hey, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. I see all this garbage my friends are going through. I'm glad I'm not dealing with it. So it's just, you've got to involve them in a very respectful understanding of why and set the boundaries and expectations that way.
Well, you know, I'm a big lover of parenting, obviously my whole platform here and my podcast, and the way you approach it with an authoritative, not authoritarian approach of like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Let's have a conversation about it. Like, I'm the boundary setter, but I want to include you in the process making is such a healthy way to approach that they feel some ownership, like you mentioned. And, you know, we're far away from introducing. I mean, at the time of this recording, my older child's 4 months and my baby's 6 months. But I think about it with iPad introduction. You know, we delayed the introduction of an iPad for various reasons. My family does not prefer iPads. Okay. And then I look at other families who do, and everyone's different, right? Some families introduced it way earlier than we have. Some families have not yet introduced it, but we introduced it just a couple months ago. So when he was like a little close to four years old, and same thing, the boundaries with the iPad, that this is when we travel in an airplane. That's the only time he gets access to an iPad in our family. And, you know, he understands it. Like, he understands that he's not getting access to that iPad in the home. And when he whines or complains about it, we say, hey, sweetie, if you want to watch, we're going to watch on the big television. We're not going to watch on the iPad. That's for our special travel. And then now he's trying to get on planes. You know, he's like a smart kid. He's like, when are we taking an airplane next? You know, but I'm like, hey, but so it's not like you're saying, it's not like we're not allowing our child to have screen time, because I do believe that it is an enjoyable piece of his life. He loves his cartoons and I think it's wonderful. And they're, you know, shows that we've pre-vetted, but there also is a boundary I have that I don't, you know, to protect his visual health. Also the fact that I want television watching to be somewhat communal. It's something that I've always liked. And so, yeah, that's kind of what we do. And I use that example for maybe some of my listeners who may have younger children, that it can start with iPad introduction, then it evolves to cell phones, and then it evolves to laptops. It evolves to all the things that we are so grateful to have. Like I said, I want to really exit out with this whole, what you started with, is like, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful that because of technology, I'm able to meet you, Bill, and have a conversation with you about boundaries with cell phones and technology, which might not have happened had I never created my platform and had Instagram and whatnot. So thank you for providing all your expertise, your research, your experience as a parent to help guide parents in a non-anxiety, stressful way. Like, this was an amazing conversation.
Thank you. Fantastic to be with you today.
Yeah. And for everyone listening, please make sure to leave a review if you found this helpful. Where can we stay in touch with you, Bill, if you have a social media platform or for more information about Truemi Wireless?
Truemi.com is our website, Truemi.com. We do a lot of blog content with helpful content to help parents through all of these issues, And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Trimmy Wireless as well.
Perfect. And I'm going to be linking all of that to our show notes so that you can stay in touch, find about what Trimmy Wireless is doing. Like I said, check them out as well if you're looking for this sort of balanced approach to provide technology, but also create safeguards for our children, which I also agree as a pediatrician who's very into development is an important aspect of parenting. Thanks again, Bill, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode. As always, please leave a review. Share this episode with a friend, share it on your social media. Make sure to follow me at Peds Doc Talk on Instagram and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Peds Doc Talk TV. We'll talk to you soon. You made it halfway through an episode, so you must be loving the show. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel where I share answers to all of the common topics submitted to me regarding child health, development, and debunking all that misinformation you hear online. My goal is for PDT to be a one-stop shop for your searching needs. Bye-bye late-night Googling. So make sure to go to YouTube and search Peds Doc Talk TV. Hit that subscribe button and binge-watch all the amazing episodes and episodes to come. Have suggestions for future videos? Make sure to chat in the community section on my YouTube channel.